You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced back in May that fully vaccinated people didn't need to wear masks in most settings. But that guidance changed yesterday in light of new data and rising COVID cases. Now, according to the new guidelines, even fully vaccinated Americans should wear masks indoors in areas of high COVID-19 transmission. Joining us today is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. And remember, if you've got questions, you can get them in idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hey, Gemma.
Okay, so let's talk about these new guidelines. Why change them once again?
So I suspect there's a number of reasons, but I think probably two reasons played the greatest factor. First of all, you remember a couple of months ago when the CDC issued its guidance that fully vaccinated persons need no longer wear a mask. A couple things. One, they were trying to promote more people to get vaccination, and I suspect they thought this would be a big carrot, because as much as people complain mm-hmm. about having to wear masks, here's an easy solution. Get vaccinated. You don't have to wear masks. I don't think that turned out to work so well. In fact, I think what they may not have expected, but of course, I think you and I even talked about it at the time, was a concern that it actually might backfire. And I think that's what we've seen, where now people that were not vaccinated just stop wearing the mask because nobody can tell anymore. And the other factor was that at that time, we were dealing with largely with Alpha. Now we're dealing with Delta. Delta is very different in a number of respects. But I think the key factor that led to this change in guidance is the fact that, as we know, Delta is far more contagious. What we didn't know is, could somebody who's vaccinated, even though they would be protected from getting sick, might they still be able to transmit it? Because we know this virus produces itself in very high numbers. And in fact, what we saw in these breakthrough cases were, unlike Alpha and the previous variants, where people that were vaccinated did not seem able to transmit the virus. Now with Delta, because it's so much more contagious, people that had breakthrough infections were still testing positive with about 1,260 times the amount of virus that we saw previously, and therefore significant concern about their ability to transmit it, and especially dangerous because they might be feeling perfectly well because they're vaccinated, yet still able to transmit this. And the CDC has confirmed, I haven't seen the data, but the CDC did confirm they have seen these transmissions and subsequent infections. So it's now behooves us, we all have to get back in masks. It's not to protect the people that's vaccinated, it's to protect the people that aren't, or the mm-hmm. and the ones that can't be.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, can we talk a little bit more about that? Because there's already rhetoric going around, you know, saying, well, the vaccine doesn't work. See, because if it worked, you wouldn't have to wear a mask. So it doesn't work. I'm not going to get it. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over again in the last 24 hours on social media. Can we talk facts here, as you just said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is part of the misinformation campaign, frankly.
Absolutely. Well, that is demonstrably false. And here's why. For anybody who's willing to just listen to reason, let's not get into technicalities for a minute. Let's just look at the big picture. All right, let's assume the argument is right. The vaccines don't work. Okay, well, if that's the case, what we know is that about 50% are vaccinated and about 50% are not. I'm doing some rounding just to make this easy. Mm-hmm. So If that's the case and they don't work, then if we looked at the people who are in the hospital with COVID, in the ICUs with COVID, on ventilators with COVID, and dying with COVID, it should be about 50-50, right? It's not. It's 90, it depends on which one we look at, but it's up in the high 90s%. Those are the people that are unvaccinated. So you cannot explain that. That is not by chance. The only way you can explain it is that, in fact, the vaccines are preventing severe disease, are preventing people from being hospitalized, are preventing people from needing the ICU, are preventing people from needing mechanical ventilators, and are preventing death. What we have never suggested is that the vaccine would prevent you from getting infected at all. In fact, even when we looked back a year ago, and we're talking about the data coming out of the trials, what we talked about for Moderna and Pfizer, who were first to release their data, it was about 94-95% effective at preventing symptomatic infection. So that's not 100%. And so people are still going to get infected with the vaccine. But if you ask me, would I like to be infected and vaccinated or infected and unvaccinated? It's a slam dunk. I want to be vaccinated.
And I think it's fair to note that Dr. Megan McInerney, she is the ICU director at St. Alphonsus. She was interviewed by KTVB just yesterday. And I want to quote her here. She says, every single patient in the ICU with COVID is not vaccinated, and our ICU is full. It is totally full. We have patients constantly needing to board in the emergency department. This is the case for the whole hospital. Unfortunately, we don't have any beds available, so patients are needing to board in the emergency department. And this goes back to exactly what you were just talking about, Dr. Pate.
Well, it's exactly right.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Jim.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, what I was going to say, go ahead.
Well, what Dr. McInerney is saying is exactly right. And what we saw was a warning in Missouri. And over the summer, when we saw, even though 30-40% of people were vaccinated, their hospitals were getting filled up with people with infections that had severe illness, and they were almost totally unvaccinated. And they were running out of ICU space. They were running out of ventilators. It's kind of like what we saw before. And just another point that we should conclude from that. If you think back to last year, if, you know, most of our hospitals were full with older people and with COVID, the fact that they're filling up now with younger people, because the older people are not the ones that are showing up in the hospital, by and large, they're protected. This should be scary for young adults, middle-aged adults. And you have to understand, whatever you concluded about COVID based on last year, all the rules have changed because we're not dealing with the same strain of virus. This is different.
I also want to mention that the CDC is also now recommending that all K through 12 schools, teachers, all staff, all students mask when they go back to school. And Dr. Pate, let's talk a little bit about locally, because our, you know, as you know, we have different health districts in the state of Idaho, and Central District Health, which oversees Ada, Boise, Elmore, and Valley counties, they issued a statement just yesterday supporting the new recommendations to wear masks in indoor public spaces. In fact, CDH also echoed the CDC guidelines regarding K through 12 education. This is a quote. Universal indoor masking is recommended for all teachers, staff, students, and visitors to K-12 schools, regardless of vaccine status or community transmission. Further, CDH encourages people to follow any policies or requirements set by their workplace or any place of business they visit. And Dr. Pate, we should note that Valley County is experiencing high transmission of COVID-19. Ada, Boise, and Elmore they have substantial transmission. So we are in this pocket of wear a mask indoors if you have high rates of COVID-19.
Well, that's absolutely right, Gemma. And so what you see now is that all of the leading health authorities are coming to the same conclusion. The World Health Organization has made this recommendation. The American Academy of Pediatricians has made this recommendation, and now the CDC has, and now you're seeing the public health districts like Central District Health take this stance, and it's the right stance. And this has been my frustration, that our school boards, I don't think they are appreciating how much this virus has changed and how much different this school year is going to be until we can get all school-aged children vaccinated. This virus is way more contagious. Despite that, what I hear school leaders saying is, well, we're not going to do masking and we're not going to do distancing, which are by far two of the three most effective measures you can take. Instead, they said, we're going to focus on hand washing and cleaning surfaces. Well, let me tell you, you can clean your surfaces until your hands are all calloused, until you run out of disinfectant, and you're not going to stop the spread of Delta. That is ill-informed. I really am quite shocked to hear school leaders say that, because it just shows that they still, at this point in the pandemic, don't know how this virus is transmitted. I'm all for washing our hands. We should do that. I'm all for washing and cleaning surfaces. We should do that. But that is not what's going to prevent you from having an outbreak. And the CDC recently studied a big outbreak in Oklahoma, and what they found is that the attack rate was 20% in the facility. What that means is that at this gymnastics facility, one person got infected, 20% of the people there got infected. A summer camp, one person got infected, 33% of 450 people got infected. So what we're talking about is, in our frenzy about we're going to have all the kids back in person every day, which is great. That's what I want. But I want to do it safely. But instead, we're going to throw caution to the wind. We're not going to use masks. We're not going to distance. What that tells us is that we should expect very big school outbreaks on the order of 20 to 33% of people in those buildings who are not vaccinated, which is going to be most of them, are likely to get infected. Now, what that's going to do is that's going to throw us all in back into remote. From what I've heard from parents, that's not what they want. So I have to ask, what do you want? Your kids in school every day, or your kids not wearing masks? I don't see how you get your cake and eat it too.
Very well said. If you have a question for us, email us idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We'll be back with more with Dr. Pate next.
Jacob Frew wanted to work in finance.
It seemed like this crazy career where you had to know so much.
Then an app on his phone showed him, and millions of others, an easier path to the stock market.
Robinhood allowed me to begin trading without, you know, learning how to use a Bloomberg terminal.
So why is Robinhood being criticized for how it does business? On the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join host George Prentice tomorrow morning from 4 to 9 on Boise State Public Radio News.
Thanks for joining us for the Doctor Roundtable on Idaho Matters today on Boise State Public Radio News. Catch again tonight at 8 o'clock. And don't forget, it's always available at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, just a few hours after the show, and you can find it in the Idaho Matters podcast, Conversations from the Noontime Talk Show. Looking at your air quality, expect moderate air quality and higher elevations today in McCall, Garden Valley, Idaho City, Ketchum, and in Weezer. In salmon, unhealthy air quality for sensitive groups, and currently sitting at good air quality in the Magic and Treasure Valleys all the way over into Pocatello. And mid-90s in Boise today, patchy smoke, and then partly cloudy in mid-60s overnight. In Twin Falls in the Magic Valley, highs approaching 90 degrees, partly sunny skies, mostly cloudy, low to mid-60s in the Magic Valley overnight. 40% chance for thunderstorms and rain showers in Haley and the Wood River Valley, mid to upper 80s today with gusty winds. Chance for showers tonight as well in Sun Valley. Isolated storms in McCall, mid to upper 80s today. And in Salmon, 60% chance for showers, low 90s on this Wednesday.
Support comes from listeners like you and Custom Medica Pharmacy, now with a second location at 1915 West State Street in Boise's North End. A full-service pharmacy offering prescriptions, custom compounded medications, nutritional supplements, and gift items. More information is available by phone at 515-2211.
Continuing our conversation with Dr. David Pate right now, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Dr. Pate, one listener emailed and said, can we have Dr. Pate drive home the misinformation that people who are vaccinated are bulletproof? What is the risk? Let's educate.
So I think in a situation where the CDC said, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear masks. What you and I talked about at that time, because I remember that show, Gemma, and what I said is the world just became more dangerous for all those who are unvaccinated or those who aren't well protected from being vaccinated. And we have to realize that when we throw the numbers around about efficacy and protection, that doesn't mean that's true for every single person. We know if you are of advanced age, you're likely not to have as strong of an immune protection as somebody half their age. We also know that if somebody is immunocompromised because they're on certain medications to suppress their immune system because they've had an organ transplant or they have an underlying autoimmune disease or something, they're not going to be well protected. So even though they're fully vaccinated, they're not going to have the same rates of protection that the rest of us do. That's why we've never really focused on this vaccine being perfect. It isn't, and it won't be. And that's why we talked about at the very early part of this about herd immunity. Herd immunity, although I'm no longer confident that we can even achieve herd immunity because we've missed so many chances to control this virus. But in normal setting, the reason that we shoot for herd immunity is so that we protect those who cannot be vaccinated, such as what is normal is that most vaccines we don't give during the first 6 months of life. Well, having a sufficiently high number of us protected means that that mother and that baby are much less likely to get infected. So we can still protect them, even though the infant can't be vaccinated. Same thing for all these people at risk. I would say if you're unvaccinated today, your risks of being infected are far greater than they were last year. And if you do high risk activities, large gatherings, being indoors without masks, et cetera, it's even going to be greater.
Dr. Pate, Laura wrote in and she says, what do you recommend for keeping toddlers and young children safe in this Delta phase? Because, Dr. Pate, this is one of my biggest concerns, having a child that can't be vaccinated yet, but at least my child can wear a mask. But when we talk about toddlers, that's a whole different story.
It is. And so it's unfortunately, we can't protect them with the vaccine. And while infants may have some protection for a period of time from their mother, if their mother passed on antibodies to the baby, After about 6 months, that toddler's probably no longer protected. And so what we have to do is the same kinds of things. That toddler that's under 2 years old, we probably cannot have wear a mask because they're not going to be able to do that. But it means tightening your bubble. Who's coming around your child? Are they people that have been vaccinated? Are they people who engage in high-risk behaviors? I would not take a toddler on travel right now unless it was just absolutely imperative. I wouldn't do travel. I wouldn't take my toddler into large settings where I don't know that the people are vaccinated. And unfortunately, there's not much else we can do. Now, fortunately, we have not seen of the kids that do get sick, they don't tend to be the youngest kids. They tend to be over five. So I don't think we need to be panicked, but we do need to help protect them because we just don't know all the long-term effects of this infection yet.
Another listener emailed saying, if I have my child mask at school, but other students and faculty do not, how effective will that actually be for my child?
Well, it will definitely help, assuming that your child keeps the mask on and wears it effectively. But any of our mechanisms of defense can be overwhelmed. You know, the problem with schools is that this virus is passed not only through respiratory droplets, but also airborne. So if the school has high levels of air turnover and filtration, then that's going to be safer than if the school doesn't. It's going to be safer still when you're outdoors than when you're indoors. But if there are a lot of kids who are infected and they're with someone, even for me, vaccinated and wearing a mask, I don't want to spend a long time with somebody that I know is very possibly infected, because this virus, Delta virus, we're getting some indications that it does not take very long to pass this virus from one person to another. We may be talking less than a minute to transmit this wow. virus. We don't have good data yet, but it is far more transmissible. So yes, your child wearing a mask is going to help, but it's not going to be near as effective as all the children wearing masks.
Sheila has this question. She says, we're having a small gathering with a person who cannot get the vaccination while the rest of us are vaccinated. We move the gathering outside. The unvaccinated person always wears a mask. Do the rest of us need to wear masks?
No, I don't think so. If the rest of them are vaccinated, you're going to be outdoors, you're going to keep your distance, that person's going to wear a mask, I think you're good.
And Dr. Pate, before we wrap up today, can we go back to schools, this K-12 and the CDC guidelines? As you mentioned, I mean, we haven't heard anything from our school districts regarding these new recommendations from the CDC, with even Central District Health backing the CDC guidelines. We are less than 3 weeks away from the start of school, at least in the Boise School District. West Ada starts at the end of August. We are rapidly approaching the start of school, yet we have optional mask mandates right now. If you could say something to our folks in charge at schools, what would it be?
If the school boards would listen to me, here's what I would say. Do everybody a favor. Explain how you're going to make decisions. What is your decision intended to do? Is it to protect children? Is it to protect families? Is it to protect teachers? Is it to respond to hateful email? Is it to respond to surveys? How are you going to make your decision? Let's not squabble yet about what the decision is. Tell us how you're going to make your decisions. Is it going to be based on medical and public health advice, or is it not? And if it's not, how are you going to make that? And then how are you getting informed? What are you hearing from physician experts? Are you hearing from public health experts? If you're not taking their guidance and their advice, then just explain to us why not. What is the basis for your decision? I think a lot of this is because most of us have absolutely no idea how these people are making decisions, what their decision is based on, and therefore it often doesn't make any sense. I think they need to be much more transparent.
Dr. Pate, as always, I want to thank you for taking your time for explaining all of this, as once again, this COVID pandemic continues to evolve. Dr. Pate will, of course, be back with us next week answering your questions, so get them to us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. As always, Dr. Pate, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gemma. Bye-bye.